Can I welcome you along to our prayer meeting again this Tuesday evening? We're turning our Bibles tonight back into the Old Testament and to the second book of Kings and to the chapter 5. 2 Kings and the chapter 5. In the previous chapters, we read there of the miracles of the prophet Elisha. And as we come into this chapter, we are brought face to face with a lesser known individual. In fact, we're not even told her name. She is described just as a Jewish maid. And so we're reading from 2 Kings, the chapter 5, and from the beginning of that chapter. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. In these words, we are introduced to a soldier by the name of Naaman. In fact, he was the commander-in-chief of one of the most powerful armies in the world at that particular time. In his house, amongst his many servants, was a young Jewish maid. In telling her mistress that the prophet would be able to heal her husband from the dreaded disease of leprosy, we see that she was familiar with the miracles performed by the prophet Elisha. As a child sitting on her father's knee, she had heard how he, casting salt into a well, it healed its poisonous waters, and how he had caused a widow's pot of oil to multiply, and how he had raised her son to life. And as well as teaching her these things, as every Jewish father, he had taught her the things of God. And her life being eventually turned upside down, she being carried away captive, she was held prisoner by Naaman. However, remembering the words taught by her father, they not only sustained her in this very, very difficult time, but they also enabled her to react in a proper manner. And you see, as well as encouraging our children, there must be an educating of our children, a teaching of them the word of God. Indeed, preparing the children of Israel for leaving the wilderness and crossing over into the promised land. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." They were to be continually setting before their children the word of God. And you see, as well as treasuring the truth, there must be a teaching of the truth, an instilling of it into the hearts and into the minds of our children. You see, one day, like this little maid, our children are going to be snatched away from our grasp, not by soldiers, but by circumstances. And if they are able to be able to cope with this bad, wicked world, we need to instill into their minds and into their hearts the word of God. You know, the best way to prepare them for life with all its problems and all its perils is to teach them the word of God. And if only we teach them the word of God, then when bad things happen, rather than going to pieces, they will be able to stand firm for Christ, and more than that, they will be enabled to speak for the Savior. And I wonder, parent, are you taking time? Are you taking time to teach your child or to teach your children the Word of God? You see, if you don't teach them, you can be sure of one thing, that if you don't teach them the Word of God, the world will teach them the ways of sin. And like this little maid, if our children are to stand, then we need to teach them. We need to teach them the Word of God. Take time to set that child upon your knee and to teach them the pure, living Word of God. And so I want to draw your attention to this little maid that God took up and God used. I want you to notice firstly here her pitifulness, introducing these two main characters. The writer here taking up his pen, we read in verses 1 and 2. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. What is striking in these words is a series of contrasts. Naaman here is called a great man. This little girl is described simply as a little maid. He is called Naaman, but she goes unnamed. He was captain of the hosts of Syria, but she was but a captive in the land of Syria. He was loved, but she was despised. He was rich, but she was poor. He was a captain, but she was but a captive. And although she was poor, little known, and in the eyes of many weak, yet this is the one that the Lord took up and the Lord chose to speak to Naaman. You see, while we can be too haughty for the Lord to use, we can never be too lowly for the Lord to use. It is the weak vessel that God takes up and that God uses to bring down the strong. In fact, writing unto the Corinthian believers, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse 10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." It was only when he recognized his weakness that he then became strong, enabling to overcome the world, the devil, and the flesh. Again, Moses cried out, "I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And realizing his nothingness, it was then that the Lord took him and the Lord commissioned him to go and to deliver an entire nation out of the hands of the Egyptians. Never forget, it is ordinary people that God uses to do extraordinary things. Until we recognize our weakness, we will never become strong. We will never be able to do anything for the Lord. On one occasion, Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, being complimented on his great achievement, the achievement of taking the gospel into the land of China, he said, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me," he said, "he is weak enough. He'll do." And Hudson Taylor, recognizing that he was a nobody, God made him into a somebody. Perhaps in comparison with those amongst whom you walk or you work, or even amongst those whom you worship with, you feel weak. You feel that you are not gifted as they are gifted. You think that I have no great ability. But you see, God is not looking for great ability. The Lord is simply looking for willingness. And if only you let this little maid put yourself into the hands of God, God is able to take you and God is able to use you. And he's able to use you to the saving of men and women. Ah, she was just a little maid, but she was God's instrument and God took her. And maybe you feel little in your own eyes, well, then God can take you. In fact, until you realize your littleness, he cannot take you, and he will not take you. Not only her pitifulness, but surely we notice here her perplexity, her world now caving in around her. We read in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. A few years earlier, she had been living in the land of Israel, surrounded by her parents and her friends. She had been taught the things of God. The Syrians then, sweeping across the borders, they seized her. Perhaps they burned her home, or perhaps they even put her father and mother to the sword. In 5 minutes, her whole world had been turned upside down, taken captive. She had been carried away into a strange land, amongst a people with a strange language, and forced into a life of slavery. Missing her parents, she might well have been tempted to cry out, "Why, Lord, why have you caused these things to happen? Why have you allowed mine enemies seemingly to conquer?" However, instead, we find her here bearing witness to the greatness of God. Had her world not been turned upside down, had she not been taken captive, she would not have had the opportunity to speak to this great man, a man, concerning the greatness of her God. And the providences of God at times are not pleasant. However, they are always perfect. By those things, he is bringing us into the right place in the right period in order to speak to the right people. In fact, writing unto the Philippians, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." In the city of Philippi, there were those who were critical of the Apostle Paul. They felt that he should never have appealed his case to the emperor. However, now rebuking them, Paul reminded them that these things had fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. And as a consequence, his faith was spoken about in the corridors of power. You see, while bad things happen to good people, they happen for a reason. They work out for our good. Hugh Latimer was perhaps one of the greatest of the English preachers back in the 16th century. Being arrested in the days of Queen Mary, he was committed to house arrest in the home of the mayor of Oxford, Edmund and Margaret Irish. For 18 months, he was forced to live in their home, every day feeling their hatred, every day being forced to listen to their foul, wicked conversation. However, as well as having to listen to their conversation, they had to listen to his godly conversation. After some time, Margaret Irish, Mike was won over to Christ, and she trusted him alone for salvation. And when bad things happen in your life, do not rebel, but rejoice. If you had not had that accident, you would not have had the opportunity to speak to that woman or to speak to that man concerning their soul. If you had not been taken ill and rushed into hospital, you would never have met that nurse, or you would never have met that patient in the bed beside you. You would have not had the opportunity to speak to them concerning Christ and concerning their soul salvations. God sometimes brings us into bad places for good reasons. And perhaps you're not where you want to be. Perhaps you feel that God has forsaken you. And perhaps you're saying, Lord, why? Why are these things happening? Why am I at this particular place, at this juncture in my life? My friend, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. He brought this young maid out of her home, down into this place, so that she could bear witness even for him. Oh, her perplexity, but God had her there for a reason. Notice also her position. Being brought into Naaman's home, we read in the verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman was the captain of the host. It was his men who had stolen her away from her mother's loving embrace and had brought her down into this strange, heathen, wicked, sensual land. No doubt the thought would have come into her mind, why should I serve this man's wife? Why should I obey her commands? Yet rather than rebelling, the phrase waited on Naaman's wife here indicates that she submitted herself to her authority. In other words, she did everything that this woman asked her to do. And more than that, she did it when she asked her to do it. And as a Christian, there must be in the workplace a submitting not only to saintly masters, but even to sinful masters, and obeying of them even in the workplace. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up the subject, putting this matter beyond all doubt, he said in Colossians 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Even though their commands at times may not have been in their job description, and may have been difficult and even disagreeable to the flesh, nevertheless, they still were to obey. And in the workplace, there must be a submitting of ourselves to authority and obeying of our boss. That thing that your boss asks you to do may not be pleasant. It may seem to you to be beneath your rank. But if it is not contrary to the word of God, then you must obey. You say, preacher, but my boss, he is an ungodly man. His language is foul. How could I obey him? How could I submit myself to his authority? However, never forget that in obeying him, you're not really just obeying him. You're obeying Christ. You're serving Christ. Our service is not done to him. It's done to the Lord Jesus. And this little maid, though circumstances could have argued, don't obey, she's your cat. She brought you into this land, her husband brought you into this land, took away your liberty. Nevertheless, she obeyed. And in the workplace, we are to submit ourselves to our earthly masters, as long as it's not contrary to the word of God. Not only her position, but surely we also notice her profession. Hearing of her master's illness, who could have blamed her if she had secretly rejoiced? However, knowing that she must love her neighbor as herself, we read in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The words would God here express earnestness. You see, this was not a half-hearted suggestion, but it was a heartful plea. Although he had done her wrong, stealing her away from her home and from her family, she did him good. And she, with love and compassion, she told him where he could be healed. And you see, as well as witnessing to our friends, We are to witness to our foes. We are to tell them of God's great salvation. Indeed, commissioning his disciples, the Lord said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth," as well as witnessing in their own community and in their own country. They were also to bear witness unto the Samaritans. If you know anything about the New Testament, you will know that there was no love lost between the Jew and the Samaritan. They were religious, and more than that, they were political enemies. And yet, here, commissioning the disciples, he told the Lord not only to go to their Jewish friends, but to their Samaritan foes. And as well as witnessing to those who are lovable, we are to witness to those who are unlovable. By speaking to those who have helped us in life, but more than that, speaking even to those who have hurt us. You know, a reporter on one occasion was interviewing a man on his 100th birthday. And during the interview, he asked him, "What are you most proud of?" The man thought for a moment or two, and he said, "I haven't got an enemy in the world." The reporter was taken back, amazed, not a single enemy in the whole world. And the old gentleman, seeing his astonishment, he then, looking up, he said, "Yep, I've outlived every one of them." And you see, rather than trying to outlive our enemies, we are to be trying to reach them with the gospel. Perhaps in the past, that individual has not been a good neighbor. Perhaps that person has hurt you or caused you some personal loss. And in your heart, there's that grudge. You would willingly go to the ends of the world, but not to them. Here was a young girl. And despite the fact that this man had taken her from her home, brought her into slavery, perhaps even killed her parents, we find her telling him of the greatness of her God. Oh, believer, let us go unto all men, even those perhaps have hurt you, tell them the great tidings of Christ who is able to change them. Not only her profession, but notice lastly here, her prize, speaking of the prophet's name, which means God of salvation. We read in verse 4, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel." She was not just a maid, but she was a little maid. More than that, she was a little Jewish maid. And being just a child, who could have blamed this woman if she had paid no heed to the words that she spoke? After all, if the best physicians in the land of Syria could not heal her husband, how could a prophet of a different religion, a different land, ever heal him? However, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, we're told, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And touching this woman's ear, he caused her to listen." And listening, she's speaking to her husband. He then seeking out the prophet. He was miraculously, wonderfully made whole. You see, the word sown in weakness rather than perishing can prosper. Entering into the heart, it can bring life, life eternal. Indeed, Paul, bringing the gospel into the continent of Europe, he came by the riverside in the city of Philippi. There, setting forth the glorious message of the gospel, we're in Acts 16, verse 14. "And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And Paul speaking, the Lord opened her heart. And opening her heart, she not only heard, but she believed. If we but open our mouths, the Lord is able to open not only that individual's ears, but he's able to open up their heart. He is able to save them. Just a word, a little word, spoken by a little Jewish maid, a girl who was of no standing. And yet that word going forth, it changed Naaman's life. And it changed this home. Oh, believer, speak a word for the Savior. If only you're faithful, you may never know the consequences. God is able. God is able. Your circumstances may not be what you want them to be, but God has you in that street. God has you in that place of work. Why? Like this little maid, to speak for him. Oh, may we not be dumb Christians, but may we be deliverers for Christ, delivering his word, which is able to deliver the souls of men and women. That this little maid learned a vital lesson that day. It was, when it comes to obey God, it pays to obey. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. Oh, believer, like this young girl, obey the Lord. Maybe your circumstances are not favorable. Maybe that individual has done you great harm, caused you much hurt. Then, like this little maid, speak a word for the Savior. And God's able to take it. And God's able to use it to change that individual and to bring them to himself. May we bear witness. Be ready in every situation in life to speak a word for the Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that thou wouldst, Lord, help us to be diligent, looking for every opportunity to speak a word for thee. When we hear of those who are troubled, those who are going through dark times, that we would not turn away, but like this maid, that we're ready to speak even for thee. Lord, hear this our prayer. This week, help us to bear witness for thee. We pray that even as we come to prayer, guide us, Lord, as to who you would have us to speak to. And then, Lord, we pray that you would take the word, use it for the salvation of souls. Hear this our prayer, for we pray in our Savior's name.